a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, Yo and George.
Thanks, Joe. Okay.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I will say, Paul, this is the most excited I've been for NFL season in a couple years. Because even last year, there's so many question marks about C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. The draft conversation stuff was so nauseating before and after. This year, I'm ready for them to play football again and try to win games.
I'm not kidding. Last night, I thought to myself for 2 seconds, man, I wish there were still games on.
I know.
It's in last offseason, I did not feel that way.
I did not. I haven't felt that way about the Texans since 2020.
I mean, I like to think that Sean and I did Houston a service by not talking about the Texans at all during football season for the 22-23 season. Like, specifically during the Astros playoff run, we were like, yeah, we're not talking about them at all.
Yeah.
And I felt no guilt. Because my flagship days would have taught me that, hey, if I am not paying attention to the Texans-Eagles game going on in the World Series at the same time, then I'm going to need to get out a whip like I'm some sort of monastery from the 1500s and flagellate myself on the back with a couple of lashes for not having watched the game.
Yeah, I was in a pretty similar boat. Like we did not talk, the show that I was on at the time, we did not talk pretty much any Texans. It was maybe the Monday after, but at that point, even then, it was...
There's a level of disgust directed towards them at that station, which I am very curious about now.
I would...
They hate them over there.
They
it's
really
funny,
do.
Because like, the flagship's like, woo, yeah, Texans all the time. And then the Astros Rockets flagship is almost like, they're
See,
bad.
And I think both those stations, like they intentionally act that way about the other teams. They try to pretend like no matter how good it is, it's bad. Until the Texans do this, and then you're kind of forced.
Because it's 100% like, self-serving to be like, there's no reason, if you're the Texans flagship, there's no reason to watch or listen to Astros or Rockets. If you're vice versa, there's no reason to listen to the Texans.
This is why you should listen to the third-party station, right?
We are neutral.
We are not affiliated. We are not, we do not lean one way, we do not lean the other. We are right in the middle and can independently make all sorts of opinions because we do not have anyone calling us after the fact and saying, you're a bad, bad boy. How dare you say that about our beloved Texans? Like the time I got yelled at for literally reporting something that happened at a Texans practice. Got yelled at by the head of Texans PR one time, like, was going all Tuscaloosa on me because I asked Bill O'Brien about a thing he had said literally the day before. I said that O'Brien swore at Whitney Merciless at practice, and everyone was disgusted by what I said. I was like, that happened. I saw it happen. It's a funny moment from practice. If you want me to report the facts, which is what they told me, we want the facts from you, not the opinions. These are the facts. This person left the effing industry altogether.
All right, let's get to our Astros opening day countdown. No, it's okay.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people are wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
That's why we need Joe to get me back on topic.
20 days until the Astros start the season against the New York Yankees.
We're so close.
I can't wait. Today, Ryan Stanek, I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't know he was still a free agent, but Ryan Stanek signed a contract with the Seattle Mariners.
I'll be honest, I forgot. Is he a traitor?
I'm addicted to booing and applauding.
I could tell.
I like it.
Sean called him a traitor. I also called Sean a traitor yesterday.
I gotta say this about Stanek, though. How many of us forgot that he was on the team the last, like, since the 2022 postseason run where they didn't use him at all?
Exactly.
I mean, he had the party in the back. I'll miss that. Wonder how he'll be embraced in Seattle based off of appearances. Literally based off of that party in the back. I think that city, very tolerant. They would never make assumptions about who he is as a man based off of the way that he looks. Just kidding. That's exactly what they will do. But he's one of those guys that you completely forgot about because of, let's be honest, even with, you know, sometimes our own qualms about the Astros bullpen
pretty damn deep, even with a guy like Stanek, a guy like Montero, and others.
No, and look, the 2022 season was so bizarre because his ERA was so high, and then, like you said, they got to the playoffs. They didn't use him anymore because Dusty Baker didn't trust him when there was runners on base ever. So the question for today, our Astros opening day countdown, which X will the Astros miss the most this offseason? So Ryan Stanek now fits into that equation officially. Phil Maton, Hector Neris, Martin Maldonado. I think that's all of them.
Brantley, right?
Oh, Brantley. Yeah, I guess you could say, because I was thinking about players that signed elsewhere, but Brantley applies as well.
This does feel like an opportunity for me to just warn about a post-Martin Maldonado world, not at the plate, but behind the plate. But I know who I'm personally going to miss the most. And on top of that, a guy who was supposedly considered a leader in the Astros clubhouse, Hector Neris, not being here next year. It just sucks. It sucks because there is always an added wild card element with him.
I love the way he would celebrate.
I did too. And I can't believe that after striking a guy out, that he got in the guy's face, specifically someone as big as Julio Rodriguez, who he is supposedly, because they share an agent, friends with. People in Seattle got so pissed off at me for saying that that was my favorite moment of this past season because Neris supposedly uttered a homophobic slur. But, I mean, look, Seattle, different place than Houston. A lot of people here in Texas understand that, you know, slang, cusses in Spanish, different understanding of what that word means versus sure. in very, very liberal-leaning, gay-friendly Seattle. But, God, that moment was my favorite moment of the year last year. It was
pretty good.
Before Altuve's home run in Game 5, that was my favorite moment because it was in a rivalry game, and it felt like that moment mattered. And for Neris to do something like that, it was a massive shot in the arm. So you don't really have someone like that on the team anymore.
Yeah, the only counter is that from at least a production, you know, side of this, you basically replace Hector Neris with Josh Hader or pretty much with Ryan Pressly, because now you're going to have Abreu, Pressly going 7-8 in some order, and then Hader will go in the ninth. So from a production standpoint, you won't miss him as much, but I don't think the leadership stuff is always super important. They have lost quite a bit of that over the years.
You still got tons. I mean,
clubhouse. Exactly.
I mean, if you've been to 7 straight ALCS, this is the strongest clubhouse in baseball, just based off of that. And, you know, you do wonder what this clubhouse will be like with Joe Espada running things over Dusty Baker. But it does sound from a lot of people that are closer to it that they might be actually more enthusiastic, no matter how much they might have liked Dusty Baker about Espada. Going forward,
I guess we could have included Dusty Baker in this conversation as well. I forgot.
I'll miss Dusty at the mic.
Me personally, and I assume for you guys as well, doing a radio show 5 days a week during the summer, Dusty Baker was good for content. Not just
he's a content machine.
Not just the lineups they'd put out, but I remember if he would just say something, that's a segment right there. A thing he said or a back and forth he had with a reporter. That's something, but Joe Spott is going to be nice.
He's very well spoken.
Yeah,
and
too
very,
well spoken.
Very calm. I think his stuff is very is insightful. I was watching the interview he did with McTaggart yesterday, talking about Christian Javier's performance, and I felt like I learned a lot about where Christian Javier was at. I don't feel like he gave me anything to talk about.
Yeah, he gives like good answers.
Yeah.
It's not like
too good.
It's not like the like classic quarterback, like the Russell Wilson, where they talk and they say nothing. Nick Casario. It's like he's actually saying things. It's just there's not really a lot to like build off of. You're just like, okay, you answered that question very thoroughly. Thank you.
From the 713, Maldy, I strongly disagree. I'm not gonna miss Maldy.
You're not gonna miss him.
No, it was the whole Maldy thing with letting him. Certain pitchers, you know, only were caught by Maldy. I'm glad that's gone. I don't think that the defense was anywhere near as good as it was built up to be. He led the league in pass balls two of the last 3 years, including last year. He had a hard time throwing guys out at second base. Part of that's the pitchers, for sure. But I don't think they're going to miss Maldy that much. I think Guiner's going to be a big improvement.
I think the pitchers will at first. I mean, we're seeing it already with Fromber saying that I'm going to do the pitch
bomb
to have my own input into the pitches that are called. But
Yeah, I'm not like freaking out about him being gone. Last year, my big reason for pushing back was I felt like people were very disrespectful with the way that they talked about him.
Fair.
Also Dusty Baker. So I just went like full the other way, partly trolling, but also thinking to myself, hey, if the pitchers are so comfortable with him that they want him out there, then maybe there is something that he is doing from a calling games perspective. But at the same time, I remember Jake Arrieta was on, I think, Pardon My Take, and he was talking about, former Cubs pitcher, and he was talking about how it really doesn't matter who's catching you, ultimately. But for whatever reason, these Astros players, and excuse me, these Astros pitchers, who are by nature a little bit wonky, obviously routine oriented. Mm. Yeah, for them it was like, ooh,
yeah, it's a big change, and part of that is Dusty Baker. I don't think put Yainer Diaz, Corey Lee, whoever, when he was still on the team, in a position in spring training for those starting pitchers to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So I do a part of that to me is on Dusty Baker that. He didn't help that transition process before the season, during the season, and he just kind of let them have it. I'm going to miss the batter's eye. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss the excuse.
Yeah.
It's the best excuse in sports. They have a bad day at the plate, batter's eye.
Did they change it?
They did change it.
Okay.
It's more green now.
What if they're worse? Sorry, but what if they're
you
worse?
You can't be worse.
That's
at
why
home.
I don't miss it.
You
That's
can't
why
be
I'm going to miss it. Because
be worse.
They were so bad at home. It made no sense. And it was the dumbest excuse on the planet. But at the same time, I'm going to miss that excuse.
I'm going to.
Because at least they had one.
On that note, I'm going to miss $18 El Tiempo margaritas because
they're going to be $20.
Inflation, they're going to go up probably a couple dollars.
What do you think it's going to be? Over under 20 and a half.
So during the regular season they were 16. I'm gonna guess $19 this year during the regular season. Since the sad thing is, still worth it. Still worth it.
Is the second one worth it?
Well, I mean,
because the first one I get it. You know, it's one $19 drink. But going back for a second $19 drink?
The second one, the party begins after number
two. I was going to say, the second one might be more worth it than the first.
Yeah,
could you just start with the second one?
Yeah.
My problem with the second one and why it's not worth it for me.
Why?
It's going to lead to a third and a fourth. And then all of a sudden, I'm spending like $100
that's
on
where they get you. That's where they get you.
Yeah, like that's why it's a bad idea.
The good news is, if you have the third and the fourth, you won't remember.
That's a good point.
Right?
Well, but I'll be able to look at my bank account.
Now you
the
might
next
wake
day.
Up.
Who did this?
You might wake up and your parents.
I should never have told that story.
What's wrong with that? We must
never.
Have those balls. Why? It happened.
I know it happened.
He
it comes
more
up
than
every day.
I've had embarrassing moments happen to me before.
Yeah, I can't. But it's not as easy to reference you dumping your pants. Like I can't as easily get that reference.
Joe, I guarantee you that I've had like far more embarrassing moments drunk.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Oh, no. I have no issue.
The show
with
that. Is young.
I just like I gave you like just ammo.
It's a good. It's a
I know,
funny
it
story.
Is. I know, it's okay.
About the places that Paul has probably woken up in the
yes.
morning.
You ever woken up like a bush, like outside? I've never done that.
I woke up on a couch because I had been after trying to drink an entire handle of Jack Daniels. I can't drink Jack Daniels anymore because of it. My friend
oh,
had
I have
to
one of those.
Physically knock me out by grabbing a pressure point because I was flailing violently at everybody like an absolute like animal. And I woke up on a couch that had been on the lawn. My friends actually put me on the couch and brought it inside after knocking me out. And I woke up and I puked all over my Lacoste polo. R.I.P. R.I.P. Navy Blue.
Probably cost you like $60 right there.
I had so many Lacostes. That used to be my go-to. That was my first advent into.
I think Lacoste is back.
Fancy wear.
Yeah. I think Lacoste is back. By the way,
is
oh really?
Back?
I think it's coming back.
Is that the alligator one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't do polos anymore, but that used to be like I had like four.
That's all I used to
polos.
Wear.
Yeah, that's the same.
Like I told you guys, I worked at Banana Republic for 6 years.
Oh hell yeah! Dude.
You have 40% off. All I had was Banana Republic polos for so long. Brian Hoyer just got cut, RIP, just based off the last segment.
Did you hear? Sorry to keep us from going to break. Did you hear what Johnny Manziel was putting on Brian Hoyer?
I saw Manziel and Hoyer in a conversation, but I
was such a weasel. He was like, oh, Brian Hoyer was being mean to me in quarterback meetings. He's like, yeah, because you didn't take it seriously, dude.
You weren't there.
Yeah, like he basically was like, well, Brian Hoyer wasn't being helpful to me. What, he's supposed to be helpful to you, dude? Like, no, he's not. He's trying to be a quarterback.
That is the most disappointing documentary I've ever watched, yeah, was Johnny Manziel's. Yeah. It stunk. The next day, Joe Thomas went on the Dan Patrick Show and told way better stories about Johnny Manziel than that entire documentary
yeah.
did.
Well, yeah, it's funny how it's called Untold Stories. I mean, the Florida one, too.
They're all bad.
We know all the stories that were told.
Same thing with Tim Donaghy one. Like, Untold Stories, you're not good.
Where in the Untold Stories was there a little snippet about, like, Johnny Manziel, I don't know, like, still doing some of the same stuff that he was doing then?
Yeah, where's his 40 pounds weight loss cocaine story that he just gave us last week?
Well, he did give us that, but I mean, like he's still doing some of this stuff. And I mean, some of these the embarrassing stories are not going to stop with this guy.
No, Johnny's
I have endless one, pile. I'm not sharing it.
Okay, if you could reset one player's career, and when you do that, all their injury stuff goes away. Who is it? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We saw this question on Twitter today. It's a semi-common question that comes up. But if you could reset one player's career, take away the injuries that happen afterwards, who would you choose?
Tom Brady, because...
Because it's one season he got hurt.
Well, yeah, because they went 18-1 the year before, and they were going to win the Super Bowl that year, too.
Such a selfish
answer. I know.
Answer.
You know what? Just for that...
One season.
Just yeah. for that, I'm going to say Drew Bledsoe.
Boom! Tom Brady doesn't exist.
Boom.
Nah,
He's fading away in the picture like Marty yep. McFly.
Tom Brady, irrelevant. Sean, trump card.
They he trade him to the Jets.
It was going to happen. It was going to happen. No matter what you're seeing in this documentary, which is so slanted anti-Patriots, it would have happened.
You
Oh, yeah.
It would have happened.
Aaron Hernandez might not have killed someone if Drew Bledsoe yeah. never gets hurt.
Yeah. Maybe it's the leadership of Tom Brady the problem.
We're really playing butterfly effect here, huh?
Yeah. You never know.
That's the best part.
You never know what's going to happen.
No, I mean, that year, 08, I like, more than anything, like, to have the season end in, like,
it was
two
week
quarters.
One, right? Yeah.
It was 08. It was right afterwards. And I remember we were watching at the NFL Sunday Ticket Bar on campus, and I'm like, oh, are you effing kidding me? It's the second quarter. The season's over already. I mean, they still went 11-5, but that's what drives me crazy. They went 11-5, and they missed the playoffs.
Twitch here, Mickey Mantle, Tony Stark says Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson's a great one.
Yeah, King of Twitch says Joe Theismann. Maybe so we don't have to see it anymore is the point of that one.
If Bo Jackson had been able to stay healthy and play two sports, mm-hmm. we might still have two sport athletes. I think that it would have been possible. Maybe it was a little different with someone like Deion Sanders, because Deion Sanders was doing it too, where Deion Sanders played, though, a position where in the NFL, everyone knows Deion Sanders was a little bit contact averse when it comes to tackling. Nothing against him. Hey, he was a damn good defensive back and one of the best returners that we'll ever see. But Bo Jackson playing running back and playing baseball, I wish we still had two sport athletes. I like the idea of somebody playing in one game, getting in a helicopter and flying mm-hmm. into another stadium. And I know that's a Deion Sanders story, but not a Bo Jackson story. That's still the coolest
it's
thing
awesome.
Ever.
5066. I'm not saying this. 5066 says Derek Rose. But also, yes. From the 936 Yao Ming.
Yeah, Yao's probably definitely. The local one off the top, unless you want to go older with like Ralph Sampson. But he's probably the local, at least the Rockets one.
I tweeted this out earlier, and one of the first responses I got was Matt Schaub. I know it's just one season, but people really think the Texans would have won the Super Bowl that year if
they would have had more of a chance.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I mean,
it's the chance. We're like, Yao Ming.
They could have lost to the Patriots.
They
would have
played
as
Patriots in the AFC. I mean, they had multiple opportunities at the end of that game against the Ravens, despite three T.J. Yates interceptions and many more passes that could have been picked off. They had two chances in the last 2 minutes to potentially tie that game up. And, I mean, nothing against T.J. Yates. He was a third-string quarterback that you weren't even expecting to play that year because it wasn't just Schaub that got hurt. It was Matt Leinart that got hurt in his first game afterwards. So, yeah, I'll entertain that. I don't know if they would have beaten the Patriots, but, I mean, they definitely would have beaten the Ravens, I think, in that game if Schaub's under center.
Because that was 2011, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah.
The next year, I don't know. I don't know about the next year because obviously we saw Schaub all the way through. Brian Cushing getting hurt that year, maybe they would have been a little bit better. I think that they would have been a better matchup against the Patriots with the tight ends in both of the games that they went up against him. Because he tore his ACL, I want to say it was the Jets game, which was right before the game against the Packers, which I think was either a Sunday night or I think it was a Sunday night game, and the Packers waxed him. That game, that team felt a little bit hollow.
And Cushing, like the specific, and look at us talking about specific matchups from 2012 Texans. But he wasn't like as, I wouldn't trust him in coverage against, especially against those two tight ends.
Yeah, that's fair.
That just wasn't his game.
But it would have been better.
It would have been better. It would have been
than
better
what they had.
I like this one from the 832. Justin Verlander. Think about 2020 and 2021. Yeah.
They might win 21.
They might win 20. I mean, think about how I know they barely squeaked in the playoffs, but they go up at Game 7 against the Rays.
Yeah,
you might have got that Astros Dodgers World Series in the bubble in Arlington,
man,
in 2020.
What another trump card that would have had to. And I mean, obviously, if people would have said asterisk, but I mean, to come back from down 3-0 and win that series, being the only other team that's done that in baseball,
that would have been sick.
Another awesome thing to talk about with this Astros.
Yeah, Verlander's an interesting one, just because I really never even thought about that until that text came in, but. Not having them those 2 years was such a struggle for this team, and that's peak Verlander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he won the Cy Young in the years like sandwiched around that those 2 years. So obviously he was incredible, and he would have been incredible anyway. It's just it's tough to think about. Like there could have been more in this Astros run.
There could have been. I mean, think back to the pandemic season. Like Justin Verlander gets hurt, Jordan gets hurt in the next game.
He got hurt. I think he played a couple times. I think he played, came back, and got hurt again.
Yeah, and then he has the double surgery. But that year is so weird because all these injuries happen, and that's really when we get Javier for the first time.
Javier.
Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm.
It was the first full Fromber. Urquidy, I think.
And those guys were coming
Urquidy
up from,
was
like,
19.
Those guys were coming up from like Double A, who had never pitched in Triple A, and all of a sudden were giving
Andre
you like
Scrub.
Real innings. I miss Andre Scrub. I like Andre Scrub. I won't lie. Yao Ming to me is the one that, for basketball.
Do you think they're ever going to get further than where they got?
Well, can I have him and Tracy McGrady at once?
I mean, they
in this conversation of being healthy?
09 was their shot for Yao and Tracy, especially when it comes to like injury stuff. Like, it would have been great to beat the Jazz in 07, but didn't do that. But that was less injury. That was more just couldn't beat the Jazz. But 09, because I think they took
Jazz.
They took the Lakers to 7 in that it was either 6 or 7. But that was like Louis Scola and randos basically on the Aaron Brooks was going toe to toe with Kobe Bryant and stuff. So that's the one where you would have just had a better shot. And just in general, like Yao probably doesn't retire after 9 years in the NBA.
That's with it too. Is he probably has a 15-16 year career.
You just would have gotten more Yao now.
Yeah.
Might not get James Harden. Oh, butterfly effect.
That's true. Would you rather have 5 more years of Yao Ming in trading James Harden? He's way more beloved.
I would have liked Yao Ming more. I mean,
it's one of the situations where it's like you're probably costing yourself wins because the NBA was moving away from the Yao Mings of the world pretty close to after he retired. So, you're probably taking off wins. But if you just want to like your team more, that you probably go with Yao.
100%. To go back to what inspired this conversation, I know that it's been a while, but do you remember when Andrew Luck first stepped away from football, the take heard all around Houston by Rick Kamla, who was doing the afternoon show on the flagship station? He was there for, I don't even know if he was there for 6 months or
I think it was like 3.
Right. Like replacing my guy, Rich Lord. I like Rich. Everyone hates on Rich. Rich is an awesome guy to me personally. So I know. Listen, the bench probably has different thoughts on him. But they put this guy in, Rick Kamla. And after Andrew Luck walks away, Kamla tweeted this, quote, "Andrew Luck is mentally worn down? Are you kidding me? That's weaker than Antonio Brown's helmet beef. There's a difference between retiring and quitting." What a joke. Now, that's a take that I don't necessarily 100% agree with, because I do kind of agree with the last second nature with which Luck stepped away is close to quitting. It is. But to say it's, I guess, weaker than Antonio Brown's helmet beef
did not age well.
That's very funny. I forgot that was in there.
People immediately pounced on it. And here's the big joke, because I was bitter. This was when I was unemployed after the flagship let me go. And I remember dunking on this. But in retrospect, I wish I hadn't, because this was, yes, a bit of a zag. But at the same time, the flagship made him walk that take back.
That's crazy.
He had to delete it?
Because he wasn't even, because it's not like he was a Texans
player.
He's
a Colt. He's from Houston again. He's from Stafford. But they made him, like this is just like censorship.
My theory is Oliver Culp.
Oliver Luck made the phone call.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that
you don't think
made
Oliver called McClain and told him he had an issue with that.
No,
because that's really what I think happened.
No, I think that the PD there saw the backlash to the take and said that no, you need to delete this and you need to walk it back because you're starting a new show and this is making you look back. So a look bad. So then he had to open his show saying he made a terrible choice of words, as if he said something like cancelable.
Yes.
In retrospect, I was bitter at the time. I wish I had stood with Rick Kamla. So if Rick, if you're listening, I
stand with you.
5 years, 5 years later.
I'm sure it means a lot.
Yeah.
He did send me a Facebook friend request and I denied it.
Oh,
I was mad.
That's so funny.
I was mad.
I literally worked with Rick like a year ago.
Good guy?
He's fine.
Yeah, I heard he's a good guy.
I more worked with Lisa because him and Lisa Ann did a fantasy football show at this other job I had.
And Lisa?
Lisa Ann.
Can we get her on?
I can DM her. She follows me on Twitter.
I think she follows me on Twitter as well.
Well, you worked at the flagship. She goes, I want.
She was. I mean, listen, obviously, like, everyone's like,
she's. Okay, here's
she
my take.
She was so cool.
She's awesome, and I like her fantasy football takes.
She actually has good takes.
Actually.
How about that?
The other stuff, good too. But, like, fantasy football takes, very positive. You okay, Sean?
Other stuff, good too.
Well, I don't know what else to say.
I mean, all right. Started talking about Bo Jackson, and we ended talking about the Bo Jackson of fantasy football.
You're right. There we go.
Connoisseur, the Bo Jackson of certain, elements. You know what? I'm not even kidding. I have never watched one of her films. Not once.
Sounds like you're alone on that one.
I know. I never have. I think it's because I know her as a friend.
That's
fair. It's because we're.
you're such a good guy, Paul.
I'm such a good guy.
Paul.
Myself on the back.
Just standing up for women again.
But not, listen, Rich Kamla.
I'm the white knight. I'm the white knight this week, baby.
Yeah, don't be Rick Kamla. All right, 10 Minute Trolls next here on ESPN 97.5 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Sack!
Hush! Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
We saw a big old contract get handed out yesterday, Paul. Mm. Sean and I were in the bullpen area because I had to go on the Killer Bees yesterday and defend myself.
Uh-oh.
Because some of these, I love you listeners, morons, though.
How dare you say that about our listeners? I would never do that except for all the people I called idiots on YouTube.
They literally took what Sean said and turned it into my take and started texting the Killer Bees that I compared Cam Whitmore to Kobe Bryant.
Well, you did, though.
I didn't. And so I called Sean a traitor. But then Sean and I were in the bullpen, and we saw the breaking news that the Jalen Johnson, who was someone that I was interested in for the Texans if he became a free agent, signed a four-year
$76 million a year contract.
Yeah, you compared him to Deion Sanders yesterday,
That's not true.
That's true.
Mm-mm. You're like, yes, Johnson Island is back.
The new Darrell Revis.
That's a big contract. It's a lot of money.
Worth every penny.
Do you like it?
I think it's cheap. Actually, I think he would have got more in free agency. So okay. I think it's a fine contract. It's not the biggest. I mean,
top of your head, where you rank him among NFL corners?
He's top five.
Think he's top five? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Pro Football Focus graded him number one. I know we talked about that earlier what it means, but like at least in coverage, they grade him as number one.
I would say Pro Football Focus, when it comes to stuff like actual like man coverage, they're probably doing a better job comparing one corner to the next
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to gauge whether or not a guy's doing well when it's just man coverage.
I agree with most of their wide receiver, running back, and cornerback takes. Mm-hmm. It's their quarterback and offensive line ones, and I don't know much about
tight
offensive
end
line,
ones are weird too.
But like they always like crush Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil. I'm like, they had a good game this weekend, and I just don't understand. I just don't know enough about offensive line play.
None
but I'm okay
do.
With that.
Yeah, I think it's okay to admit that you're just going to notice the plays that are bad, and occasionally you'll notice a pancake. But for the most part, you don't. It's hard unless you are with Lance. Like Lance's dad's an offensive line coach.
Yeah, I don't want to be grinding offensive line tape.
I think you need unless you played it. I think you need someone to explain it to you in ways that you can understand. So
we've got a bunch of cap stuff going on in the NFL right now. The Bills cut a ton of players. They're still over in their cap space. The Chargers are still over. So they're interesting to me because there's going to be some big moves, some big names. Yeah. Getting cut there. Khalil Mack. Some people think they might cut the Bosa brother that they have or find a way to move on. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. There's going to be some big names dropping from that roster at some point.
Yep. The Dolphins still over the cap, too. The Saints. Somehow they're
always.
Of the Saints are only $15.5 million over. I thought they were $85 million over. So how about the Saints?
That's where I don't understand the NFL. I don't. They always are. The Saints are over every year, and then all of a sudden they're under.
That's Louisiana.
Patrick Peterson got cut. I bring that up because 760 or from the 760 says Patrick Peterson is cornerback for the Texans? Maybe okay. He's not the guy that he was before, but that'd be a fine signing. Do you remember the Jacksonville Jaguars employee who stole $22 million?
I do.
Yeah, so it was apparently pretty much all for his gambling addiction.
Yeah.
Now, that's what he also said. But then the authorities are saying $5 million of this $22 million were used for a life of luxury.
A life of luxury.
Flying on private jets.
Yeah.
Buying a putter used by Tiger Woods.
That one is something else. I wonder how much that cost.
I get that one.
Do you use...
If I had that kind of money... That would be cool.
Would you use the putter or would you display the putter? I would display the putter. I would not use it. I would feel like I would ruin it.
Like in the Sandlot, you shouldn't use the baseball signed by Babe Ruth.
But it's autographed and you're not going to autograph a putter.
Yeah, I think I could use the putter.
No, you would actually
use it. You're not
going to
break it.
Oh, no, you're just like smalls. You're smalls, dude. I think you got to show that, like... You got to put that up somewhere.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't use it.
Maybe you just you put it up somewhere, but it's also where you can take it out and just like in the room kind of like mess around and you like, you know, pretend like you're Tiger Woods and then put it back.
You do a little fist pump.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I like that.
Bring me a waitress.
So what I love about this guy, Amit Patel, who again like embezzled millions away from the Jaguars.
Just crazy.
Whoever his lawyer is, like shout out to this guy. He's a regular like Johnny Cochran, like sleaze bag. Like look at this. The fact that he is trying to blame spending all this money on luxury things on a gambling addiction, it's just brilliant. Cause the things that you can use as excuses in 2024, and I've brought this up before, you know very well, Joe, family is a great one. Another one, mental health, kind of tied to mental health, addiction.
Yeah.
And it's really murky when it comes to a gambling addiction, which is a thing.
It is.
But at the same time, to use this as a way while pleading guilty to serve less jail time.
It's 22
stealing,
million.
I mean, yeah, you're stealing nine figures, right? Wait, not nine, eight figures. I mean, I'm sorry, man. Addiction? Oh, I was addicted. I'm addicted to money.
I'm addicted to money.
You know what's so funny?
Should I use that as an excuse if I steal money next time?
Yeah. Our next story is what's your worst addiction? Or our next segment. But before we get to that, Russell Wilson met with the Steelers. He's also apparently going to meet with the Giants.
Do we need to cover Russell Wilson's free agency tour? I heard Sean and Dell talking about this on the way in about the picture that Adam Schefter posted of some dude wearing slides to the airport and Russell Wilson taking a picture with one another.
That was the angle we're interested in. Is Russell Wilson worth the newsbreakers having photos of them taking photos with someone else at the Newark airport?
Is he not the most intriguing free agent this offseason? Are you more intrigued by Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, because he's better.
There's no story with, like,
what's the story with Russell Wilson?
Is he going to be weird?
What do you think?
Yeah, that's not a question.
I don't know why. I'm more intrigued by Russell Wilson than Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is really simple. He's going to be a Viking or a Falcon. I don't think it's that complicated.
But, I mean, both of those teams in a very, very open NFC become at least second round of the playoff makers with Kirk Cousins.
And they both have weapons that, you know, either Justin Jefferson or all the guys in Atlanta.
That's true.
Where it's like, if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, like, is this thing actually going to kind of not work and, you know, win the Super Bowl? But I don't know. In the NFC, like Paul said, you can get pretty darn close.
Yeah, the South blows. I would say for Russell Wilson, I'm intrigued by him in Pittsburgh mainly because, one, either it works out decently and the Steelers are once again with Mike Tomlin at the helm, like, just competent enough to sneak into the playoffs again, or two, George Pickens, who is perhaps the biggest diva receiver in the NFL today.
That doesn't deserve it.
George Pickens getting mad at Russell Wilson, I'm here for that.
He's going to be like, this is just like Percy Harvin.
Does this mean they're moving on from Daniel Jones, though, the Giants, if they're going to meet with Russ? Or is this a quarterback competition? I know he's hurt.
Well, I think it's because they can get out of Jones's contract after 24.
Yeah.
And the thought is that since all of the Denver money is guaranteed and there's offset language, that there's no reason for Russ to take more than the minimum.
It's because the Broncos
just be offset anyway.
Yeah.
And he's not going to make more than what the dead cap is for the Broncos. So the idea is that he can just take the minimum and compete with, I guess, Daniel Jones, win the quarterback job against Daniel Jones. And so you're paying Daniel Jones and a minimum quarterback, and the minimum quarterback is the one starting.
Okay, so we know Kirk Cousins is more interesting than Russell Wilson. We'll roll as a show with this one. We'll be a team here. Where does Baker Mayfield fit into that equation?
I would just be shocked if he's not back on the Bucs because the Bucs re-signed Mike Evans.
Yeah.
That feels like a foregone conclusion. I'm in the same boat. Where I'm expecting any day the rap sheet or Pelissero thing of the quarterback who brought the Bucks back to the playoffs is returning, you know, like how they always fluff them up.
Is Fields more interesting than Russ or Kirk?
Well, there's so many places he could end up.
Honestly, the recent reports are that he has no market, which is shocking.
That's the interesting part. The reason he's not as interesting is because he was the story for like 10 straight days after the combine. And so I think I'm kind of just sick of the Justin Fields thing.
Same.
But I see in theory he is more interesting because there's the aspect of like, A, it's a trade, so you need two parties to agree. And B, is this guy any good?
And like, it's like now that it's swung back and it's like, well, there might be zero market for him.
Yeah.
When Adam Schefter and Ian Rapoport 2 months ago were saying you could get a first for him, I'm like, okay. Nonsense. All right, that does it for the 10-minute drill. So what's your worst addiction? We'll find out next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Guys, just forget what we were talking about just a moment ago, okay? Because you can make money at mybookie.ag. And who are you going to bet on this weekend? I'm very excited tomorrow. Along with Granado, will he actually say hi to me? Can we have a beer together? Can we have a catch? I will also be at tomorrow's Cougs Kansas game. Who are you betting on in this game? I mean, if you're betting against the NCAA future champion Cougars, I honestly think you're just a bad person. Yeah, you heard what I said. Bad
person if you're betting against our beloved Cougs as they try to finally break the door down and get a national championship. And you can bet on that game. Cougs, I don't even care what the spread is. It's just the Cougs against Kansas on Saturday. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. So many ways to play on MyBookie. You can bet on all the March Madness going on right now, but you can also do a little casinoing online and you don't have to go anywhere. You want to play Texas Hold'em? You want to play blackjack? It's all there with live dealers. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5. Please, you're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul, it appears you'll be making the Bad Dick Boulevard list this week.
What's that?
We got a text from 4187. Said John's not drinking right now, Paul. He's participating in Lent. Do you do Lent?
Sure he is.
Do you do Lent?
No.
Do you don't even like fake give anything up for the month?
No.
Or however long it is?
No.
Sean?
No. What? God's asking me to stop eating meat on Fridays? I'm sorry. I've got gains to make.
Yeah, I'm going to get some steak after
this. I have to around certain family members.
I understand that.
That's how it goes.
I play that game.
In college, though, Chick-fil-A on Fridays. Who cares? Yeah.
The Archdiocese of St. Petersburg created a issue between me and them, all of the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah,
not that kind. I mean, like they wouldn't let my mom get remarried. So I mean, I'm out on Catholicism.
I thought they didn't put you in the top five altar boys of whatever county.
You know, it's kind of scary going back in time. Like I was about 7 years away from going to the same the Catholic school I went to growing up. Like the big guy in the Archdiocese scandal in Boston with that guy, 7 years removed from the school that I went to. I know. I think about this all the time. Messed up. Anyway, you never know. But anyway, sorry.
Well, let's
don't
pivot.
Try to spirit
let's
the
pivot.
Catholics
let's pivot.
Here.
You know, Spotlight, great movie.
Ask you about Lent.
Spotlight, great movie.
Great journalism.
Great journalism.
What a transition, Joe. that was a pretty good.
All right, what's your worst addiction?
I got a lot.
Fun addictions only, please.
I have an addictive personality.
Good rule.
Let's make this lighthearted. No sad stuff.
Jesus.
Coffee.
I'm addicted to coffee. I am addicted to coffee. That's for sure. Fun stuff we're addicted to. All the addicts listening right now are shaking their fists at the radio.
I mean, to them it might be fun. Like.
I'm addicted to video games.
Same. I wish I could quit it.
I broke a 3-month fast with video games last night. I downloaded Helldivers 2, played it for about an hour and a half. Very fun game. Very violent game. It kind of feels a little like a Gears of War mixed with Starship Troopers. Very, very fun. But video games for me, I have a tough time putting them down.
Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, because I think it's a great way to just check out of my very hyperactive brain. It's a great way for me to just not think about anything.
Yeah.
That's why I like them.
What's your go-to usually in the past?
For video games?
Yeah.
There's a couple. Skyrim, Civilization 3. I know that's an old one, but Civilization in particular is really the one that gets me
commit. We've talked about it before because I play Civ 6, and I don't want Paul to get the new stuff that's on the streets. You
know? I played the new one. I actually didn't like it. I was like, I want to go back to Civ 3.
Too much fentanyl in it?
Not enough. I'm kidding.
Sorry, fun stuff. Fun stuff
only. You said
only.
Fun stuff. That was your fault. You brought us down.
You know what game I would love to have back?
What?
I think they tried to do it again, but Fight Night was one of the greatest games. ever.
Oh, the boxing game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun
it
one.
It used to be so good.
I remember that. Yeah. But
that was an elite game.
And you had to use the right analog stick to put punches. But it was very cool, like the amount of creativity that you had with that. Yeah, that was a fun game. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I used to be pretty heavy into just like only sports games. Call of Duty kind of changed my life.
Okay.
Like I my parents like would not let me do that stuff. So when I got to like high school and could buy my own video games, that's when I started playing Call of Duty. That's my go-to still.
Fun addiction. Like my video game addiction. Fun addiction.
I mean, coffee for real, to be honest.
Yeah, I have 5 cups a day.
Like, it's, I mean.
I think sometimes, like, I put my hand out and I wonder, like, hopefully this isn't early onset anything, but there are times where my hand's shaking. I'm like, is this because of the coffee that I don't have in my system right now? I don't know.
That's always a good question. Like, is it worse before or after?
I think it's before.
That's one of the best things about this schedule change for me. I was, like, ruining my sleep life working the Killer Bees because I would still want to do and have coffee every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I was having my coffee at, like, starting at 3 o'clock. We're like, no, like, I'm still sipping on this like a child. But, like, I would have coffee way too late in the day. And I used to think that that was nonsense, that I could have coffee whenever. Sean?
I'm not a big coffee person. I think that our average is still up because of how much y'all take in, but I help bringing it down by I barely ever drink coffee.
I wasn't until I got in this business.
Same.
Until I got in this business, I didn't drink coffee.
When I get in this business, I'll
see. Yeah.
The morning radio, like I respect the hell out of John and Lance doing this every single day at an advanced age because it is hard to get up. What? Why are you guys laughing?
I don't know John and Lance like that well. They're not the most
Not disparaging.
If that would upset them.
I didn't say they're old.
Like they're Joe Biden.
They could both be my dad. What? Like I mean they're both I think they're old enough for both of them to be my dad. I have no like whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are we like the
You're saying that they're doing such a good job considering their age, their advanced age.
Shaming John and Lance.
No, I'm not. This is legitimately something I respect. I remember one time when I came back from a wedding last summer and my flight did not get in until 8 a.m., even though it was supposed to get in basically at like 10 p.m. the night before. And I called out and John called me out on it, and he should have called me out on it because John would have showed up.
That's true.
No, I need coffee now, and I'm 34. Like God,
hey,
I don't know how I would do the early morning shifts.
3311 says I'm addicted to ESPN 97.5.
Hell yeah!
Thank you.
Fun ones only. don't.
Sean, what are you addicted to?
I think sweets specifically.
Oh yeah,
specifically peanut butter and chocolate. You put peanut butter and chocolate on anything, I'm eating it.
So I go peanut butter and chocolate, or I like sour candies.
Oh yeah,
so like Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah,
Sour Patch Watermelon. Sour Skittles are good. They got to be limited though. And my number one.
It's such an addiction for me that I am like, this hurts my mouth.
Skittles ruin your mouth.
Like an addict, I know the harms that it's doing to my body.
Sour Skittles or Sour Patch? You can pick between the two.
Sour Skittles is more what hurts your mouth, I feel.
Yeah, it hurts your mouth more, but for that reason, I prefer Sour Patch because you can eat those more casually.
Remember Warheads?
Yes.
Oof, those are good too.
Are they still a thing?
Probably.
Probably off the streets.
I remember when people would bring it to school and like be like, I got some Warheads.
Some Warheads, kid. They got a trench coat.
People acted like it was like, no, I mean, you can still get on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I just don't know if it's as popular as it once was. My also is Laffy Taffy. So bad for my teeth.
Oh, yeah. All that stuff where you got to chew. But it's
love
good.
I love Laffy Taffy.
I was never a big Laffy Taffy person.
I'll say the one dip. Duh.
Sour candy is very good. I remember Wonka had these things called shock tarts.
Yeah.
Those, I'm going to make my mouth water right now. I love those.
Have you seen the new Wonka? With
what? You
mentioned Wonka.
Yeah, you did mention Wonka.
Yeah.
Listen.
With Timothy Chalamet or whatever his name is.
Chalamet.
Yeah. There's too many. We've done too many Wonkas.
This one's good.
We've done too many Wonkas.
I think this is the best one since the original.
Actually. Yeah, because the original one's the only one that should have happened.
Okay. Yeah, Johnny Depp's was weird.
Oh, what a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've only seen one Timothy Chalamet movie in the last, 6 months.
The only Willy Wonka I want to see is where Grandpa Joe gets his. I just want to see that deadbeat who was clearly able to walk the entire
thing. He really is. Well, he's a really a terrible parent. Just awful. Or grandparent.
Just absolutely awful. He's like almost Jenny from Forrest Gump. Like almost. Not
she's
quite.
The worst.
She's the worst.
She's absolutely the worst.
Yeah.
And Forrest's mom.
No, Forrest's mom.
She just cared about her son's
come
education.
On. She's just single mom. What's wrong with you? You are shaming older women.
She's a bad parent.
I stand with women. You are shaming older women for having fun.
I mean, she's a bad parent. I mean, she's a good parent when she sleeps with
the
principal.
She did her best. She had no. Yeah. She had no husband.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't know who the husband. We don't. Excuse me. We don't know who her Forrest's dad was.
That's
so
true.
That might. You know, I mean, maybe that's a check against Sally Field playing Forrest's mom. But Sally Field, come on.
All right,
Smokey and the Bandit.
I've never seen it.
Well, that's a good one.
Sean, have you seen Smokey and the Bandit?
I think I've seen part of it.
Okay. All right, we started the show today talking about if the Texans don't spend money, are they settling this offseason? We went through what we want to see the Texans add, but what do you consider a failure this offseason for the Texans? That's next year on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5.